service. It's a simple word, but it really governs everything about our lives. After all, we by nature are serving something or someone with everything we do. Perhaps you are serving your family. There is nothing I would not do to help and support and serve my family. Maybe providing for your family is the reason you do everything you do. And serving your family is absolutely a part of your vocation as father or mother, brother or sister, husband or wife, and so on. Perhaps it is your job or occupation that you are serving. I do everything expected of me and then some. I take on all the extra work and put in tons and tons of overtime, not because I need the work and the extra money, but because they need me. Work is truly a good gift from God, and the ability to find a job that you really enjoy is a great blessing. Perhaps what you are serving at a given moment is yourself. Now, there is nothing inherently wrong with doing things that benefit yourself. After all, God gave you your body and life so that you can, among other things, enjoy them. Finding things that you enjoy and taking time to rest are both important to your quality of life, and both help you to serve all those other things. But regardless of whom it is that we are serving, we are always serving someone or something. And in talking about service, there is an important distinction to be made here. Is what we are serving our God? Luther defines a God as follows in the Large Catechism. A God means that from which we are to expect all good and in which we are to take refuge in all distress. We might also include in that definition, a God means that which we serve above all things. And so, any of these things that you serve could become a God. Whether it is family, whether it is work, whether it is self, whether it is money, any of these things can become a God. And unfortunately, that God will take the place of the true God in our hearts. Jesus warns, after all, in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or you cannot serve God and anything else. And that really is where we are by ourselves, because by our sinful nature, we are prevented from serving the true God. In fact, one of Satan's chief goals is to keep us in our service and bondage to self and to created things and away from service to God. By our sinful nature, we cannot come to and serve God. We are enslaved to all of these other things, to the devil, to the world, to our sinful nature. All these things keep us in bondage. And yet, God freed us. God has freed us from Satan's power. He has saved us from our service to self or to these other things, which was really service to Satan. And how? In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and this truth will set you free. And again, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus frees us from our service to all of these other things. And so now that we are free from our service to Satan, what are we to do with that freedom? After all, we have not been freed from these things for nothing. We are freed so we can serve him. In Romans 8, Paul says, "The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." We have been set free, but then Paul goes on and says, "You who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness." We have been set free from our bondage to other things and set free so we can serve God. Because now, service is extremely other-focused. When we are serving others, there is no time to think about the self. We are, whether it is serving God, whether it is serving the neighbor, it is putting someone else's needs ahead of our own. When we serve others in God's name, it shows that we trust in God above all things. Now, there are a lot of different ways that we can practice service, and tonight and throughout Lent, we're talking about spiritual disciplines here, the spiritual discipline of service. But there are a lot of different ways that we can practice this spiritual discipline. Perhaps it is serving God through His church, whether it is serving on boards and committees, whether it is serving behind the scenes by doing whatever needs to be done, whether it is mowing and landscaping, whether it is using our gifts and abilities in worship or in fellowship times. All of these are ways that we serve God by serving His church. And we can also serve God by serving our neighbors. Whether it is seeing to it that our neighbor's basic needs are met, whether it is food or clothing or shelter, whether it is spending time with our neighbors when they are lonely, perhaps picking flowers to give to an elderly woman who can't get out. All of these are ways that we practice this spiritual discipline in our lives. But why is it that we practice the spiritual discipline of service? Why is it that we serve God by serving our neighbors? Because He has first served us. After all, Jesus willingly became a servant to sinful humanity by obeying His Father's will. If you were here on Sunday, you may remember our epistle reading from Philippians chapter 2, that Christ Jesus, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Christ willingly put aside the full power of His divinity for us. He became a servant for us. Jesus served God throughout His life, meeting both physical and spiritual needs for those around Him, by healing, by raising the dead, by feeding, by teaching. Christ served those around Him with very little thought for Himself. And of course, His ultimate act of service as God's servant was the one that we only just read from John chapters 18 and 19, the crucifixion. The greatest act of service that any one man can perform for another is to give His life. Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend." And that is what He does for you. He trusts in His Father's plan completely, knowing that this is what is necessary. He accepts the pain that He is going to suffer, and He takes it all for us. He was stricken, He was smitten by God and afflicted, all in service to us. And this act of service, this selfless act of service, is what frees us so that we may serve God. We serve Him not because He commands it, but because He enables it. We are freed from our service to self, not because God demands it, but because He does it. We serve because He first served us. We love because He first loved us. But of course, all our service to God pales in comparison to the surpassing greatness of His service to us. How incredible is it that God would perform the ultimate act of service for us? How beautiful is the service which God has performed for us? We did nothing to deserve this act of service. God chose of His own volition to do it for us. He placed His Son on the cross to forgive us. Jesus willingly served us by carrying out His Father's commands for us. Hear again how Jesus served us by His life and death from our Old Testament reading. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? They made His grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in His death, although He had done no violence, and there was no deceit in His mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. He has put Him to grief. When His soul makes an offering for guilt, He shall see His offspring. He shall prolong His days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Praise God for His service to us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.